Hello there, official EFL podcast time once again. We've had the final day in Leagues 1 and 2, and one of the clubs celebrating at the weekend was Derby County. Their striker James Collins joins us to tell us exactly what the reward is for the Rams' return to the Championship. Vegas, baby.
I think that was what spurred a few lads on. They're thinking, right, we have to get promoted here because I need one more shot at Vegas. Because we've got quite a lot of older lads in the group, so they might never get to go again.
Juliet Farrington drops by to make sense of the final days gone and the Championship climax this weekend. Plus, of course, all the playoff permutations. Kiefer Moore is also on board for our 72 in 72. Please get following and find us in all the usual places, wherever you get your podcast from, or just watch the whole thing right here on YouTube. This, my friends, is the official EFL podcast. Hello there, gang. Let's get cracking. Leagues 1 and 2 final day have come and gone, and what wonderful days they were. The playoffs are next, all those shenanigans getting discussed in due course with today's co-host. She's back for more. Juliet Farrington. Jules, how are you?
I'm good. It's the countdown, isn't it? It's the countdown to the final week of the Championship.
All very, very exciting.
A lot to be decided too.
It will. And thankfully and wonderfully, it's gone down to the final day, which from a broadcasting point of view, we're all very, very happy about. I mentioned playoff shenanigans. There's a man joining us today whose team have completely bypassed that because they did their business in the regular season with a glorious final day result. And I think what you can only describe as scenes at Pride Park. James Collins, the Derby County striker. Firstly, congratulations, mate. How's the head?
Yeah, thanks, Prutz. Thanks, Jules. Listen, the head's, it's sore. I'm not going to lie to you. Now, we had great celebrations. We had a little party at the stadium on Saturday with all the families and the kids and all the staff, and it was really, really good. And then, as you can imagine, the lads carried it on the Sunday. So the celebrations were fantastic, and everyone involved with the club, players, staff, fans, deserve the world because it's been a tough season, but we're so glad to get over the line.
Tough season of hard work, which, or the expectation, given as well the disappointment of last season, James. All eyes on Derby. You saw Pompey, what they were doing, the pace that they were setting between yourselves and Bolton, duking it out for that second spot. We watch it, we cover it. It seems to me that the season's flown by from our point of view. Is it the same as a player?
Not really. Like you just mentioned there, mate, the expectation of this club, when I first signed here at the start of last season, it was like, right, Derby, biggest fan base, biggest budget, best players. It doesn't work like that. Football doesn't work like that. As you can see, Ipswich and Plymouth last year and then Pompey have gone on to be excellent this year, and they deserve to win the league because they've been so consistent. But at the end of the game Saturday, it was more like a relief, like we've finally done it, because last year the disappointment, not even making the playoffs, was really bad from our point of view. So to get over the line this year, the relief of it, for me, mate, the season's just flu. Gaffer talks about it all the time. He has meetings. He's like, listen, before you know it, there'll be 30 games left, 20 games left, 10 games left. We get to the meeting on Thursday, it's right, that's it, last game of the season. If you win, you're up. It's surreal. But yeah, I think more of a relief, really, because this club does deserve to be in the Championship and higher.
James, you talk about the relief and it's been a tough season, but it's been a tough 3 years, hasn't it? It's been a turbulent 3 years for Derby. When you talk about the supporters, 27,000 average this season, that's huge in itself. The manager spoke about how emotionally exhausting it was as well. Could it have been at times exhausting for the players?
Oh, 100%, because if you look at our season on a whole, the amount of injuries we've had to key players, we've actually lost more games than anyone in the top six, I think, but haven't drew as many. So it's been quite a lot of ups and downs. But I think going from January, apart from Portsmouth, I think we've been really consistent. We've managed to win big games. The one that stands out for me the most is Oxford away. We were 2-0 down, and Oxford were still fighting for the top two at that point. We were 2-0 down, and we ended up winning the game 3-2. And I think ever since then, we've been really, really consistent. And obviously, there's hiccups on the way. But I think a majority of the time, we've been really consistent. And I think that game really stands out for me. We kicked on and managed to get the job done.
The great thing from what we saw on Saturday was that collective, wasn't it? Yes, we saw a huge turnout from the fans, as Jules mentioned. The average gate at Pride Park has been consistently high for decades.
Away from home as well. Away from home, they've been absolutely amazing. I think every stadium we've played away from home, we've sold out, and they've been fantastic. So they've got to obviously get a good mention for the away form as well. And obviously that's also reflected in, I think we broke the record for Derby this year with away wins. So I think it was 13 or 14 away wins this year. So that obviously always helps away from home as well.
Yeah, it's testament to the size of the football club. The scenes on Saturday when Paul's there and David's there, the owner coming out and it being a real sense of togetherness. Because going off the back of what Jules says, James, it's the story with Derby County in recent years has been about everything off field, hasn't it? And that's come away from what these players are capable of, what the squad's capable of, and what the fans invest emotionally in a football club for. And that the payoff and that togetherness, the feeling inside Pride Park on the final whistle must have been immense.
I think that's what the gaffer wanted most this year. He wanted the fans and the players to all be as one. And there was a lot of different ways he went about that. And it's like, as you can see, the scenes with like the bounce and stuff after away games and home games. So it's just little things like that brings everyone together. And we obviously want to be a team that the fans can be proud of. And I think first and foremost this year, whoever's played at whatever point of the season, they've worked so hard for that shirt. And I think that's all fans want to see, especially after the heartache that the fans have had over the last few years. They just want to see a team that's going to run for a brick wall for them and obviously produce that bit of quality when needed. And I think we've managed to really do both this season.
I know the fans obviously have dreams. They want ambitions to where Derby County wants to be from where it has been in recent times. But it is a rebuild job, isn't it? And so the Championship, I guess, is a league that you want to feel comfortable in so you can take that next step.
Yeah, and I think a big mention's got to go to Rosie as well. Obviously, you know Prutz really well.
Absolutely.
When I signed here last year, he had 3 or 4 weeks to get assemble a squad together. I think when he first got the job, I think there was like 5 or 6 players in the building. So I think he done an excellent job to get a good side together. He signed some great players, as you know, and then this year with the gaffer has come in and he's re-signed again with lads that can not only play in this league that can obviously step up to the Championship as well. And when you look at some of the players who've signed over the last couple of years, you'd probably think, why are they playing in League One? But it was like the ambition of getting this great club up and then obviously kicking on to next year. And that's not a given. You don't get given that. You still have to go and get the promotion, but we've managed to do it. And I think the squad is in a good place for next year.
You mentioned the squad, James, and it's in that funny period post-season, isn't it, when something wonderful's happened, but such is the change in nature of football and contractual situations, because I know you're in today and we'll come on to where you're heading to very shortly in a little bit in the next couple of days. But today there'll be celebration, but there'll also be goodbyes, won't there? The players move on, and it's that transient nature of being in the same place at the same time. So can it be sometimes, I'm not trying to put a downer on it, but that kind of double-edged sword where the professional part of being a footballer sometimes comes to the fore. Lads, we've done a job. Some are going to be here next season. Yeah. Some are going to be offered new contracts. And some, by virtue of what the industry is, are going to be moving on. It's imperative that you share this together, remember this together before everyone goes a separate ways.
Exactly, mate. Like, Prutz, you know yourself how ruthless his business can be. There's so many highs and so many lows, so you won't get many better highs than Saturday and Sunday celebrating with the lads on your achievement. And then, like you say, coming this week and there'll be some lads that won't get new contracts. There'll be some lads that will get moved. So there'll be some lads that will sign. So I think the gaffer touched on it quite a lot. He said this group, the way football is, it will never be together again. There will be changes. But I've seen that obviously throughout my career. But hopefully what we've achieved as a group this year will stay in the memories of the fans and the lads forever, because promotions, obviously, that you don't get given them, you have to earn them. And, and this group's been, from day one, has been fantastic, and that has always been the goal. So whoever stays, whoever goes, I'm sure we'll all stay in contact throughout the years, because when you achieve something together, I feel like it's easier to stay in touch with people. I'm the worst at keeping contact with people. I'm so bad. My wife says it to me all the time. She says it to me all the time. She says, you need to text someone back. You need to see how they are. need to text them back, see how they are, and I'm awful. But I think when you're in group chats and you achieve something together, it's a lot easier to keep in contact. And this group's been fantastic this year.
James, I'm just wondering, after the chaos on the pitch and all the celebrations and all the joy then, were there or was there just a moment in the dressing room when you could you were all together, or was it just chaos that you took from the pitch inside as well? Was it like just a moment where you were just like, and you can breathe?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, there was. So obviously after all the pitch invasions and stuff like that, we went up to the press box and obviously done our bits and bobs with the fans. Then we come down to the dressing room and we had our little celebration together with the staff and everything. And then once that all calms down, you go and see your family. And then we all sat in the dressing room with a beer. There was food put on, we had a little pizza and a beer and just like reflected on it. And that's probably the only quiet moment you get then before you get showered and stuff. And you go back up to the party. And then obviously you're speaking to everyone, you're seeing all your family and stuff. So there was a little 10 minutes of reflecting. But it seemed like the night was so many stages. So you're doing that with the fans, you're doing that, you're doing this. But that 15 minutes was really nice. And we obviously look around the dressing room and think like, right, we've done it, we've achieved it. Let's talk about Vegas.
Well, yeah, let's go talk on about then. Vegas. come on then. So you as a reward and a quite frankly, just reward. As soon as I heard that, it catapulted me back to a very long time ago when I was at Sheffield Wednesday and we managed to go up in second spot back into the Championship, and we were in the dressing room straight after the game. I think Milan Mandarić was there as the owner and chairman, and big Rob Jones, who's 6'10".
Yeah, I remember him. I remember
boxed him off saying, "So it's Vegas then, chairman, Vegas." And he kind of was cowering, going, "Yeah, can you get this madman away from me?" So that was done and dusted. Obviously, the text comes in 2 days later. Lads, we're not going to Vegas. Can't afford going to Vegas. I mean, wonderfully, we went to Marbella, which, as cliches go, is the biggest one when it comes
to football. But back in the day, that used to be really good, didn't it, Brooks?
We had a lovely few days. But you've managed to get it properly sorted, James. You are off to Las Vegas. What's planned? Can you tell us?
Basically, the start of the season, I'll take you back to the start of the season. You obviously, you know yourself, being an ex-captain, you go and sort your bonuses out and for the lads and this, that and the other. And the club said that they'll put us a trip on. They give us a pot to us to go away if we manage to achieve promotion. So we agreed a figure and stuff. And then obviously, you know what the lads are like these days. It's like, right, go, it's got to be Vegas. It's got to be. So when it got down to like the last couple of games, we were thinking, right, there's a chance here. So we sort
chance for Vegas, not promotion. There's a chance for Vegas.
Yeah, well, I think that was what spurred a few lads on. They're thinking, right, we have to get promoted here because I need one more shot at Vegas. Because we've got quite a lot of older lads in the group, so they might never get to go again. Do you know what I mean? So Conor Horan was brilliant. He was speaking to the secretary, and we kept it under wraps for a little bit. And then as soon as we done the deal on Saturday, he was straight on to Claire, the secretary, and managed to get our flights and stuff sorted. And yeah, we go Thursday morning till Tuesday.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah.
I mean, Jules, to be fair, go wrong?
It was taken out of our hands because the flights, we couldn't get all each of them on the same flight. So we had to go for 5 days because otherwise you wouldn't come back together.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
That team spirit, mate, is what carries you through.
Well, you've got to stick together, mate. You can't fly in dribs and drabs, can you?
Never leave a fallen soldier.
And nobody declined, obviously, the offer to go for 5 days.
Absolutely not. No. I think it's compulsory.
And the good thing is you've got a good, 6 weeks to pay for it when you get back.
Well, exactly, yeah. So it's. I think that's the important thing is, like, seriously, to get it done straight away so you can celebrate in the moment together and it's still fresh in your mind, and then you can come back then, and then you've got the rest of the break with your family, and you can get back training and what, et cetera. So
we just wish we could have, helped you with the back.
Jules has crestfallen that she's not going to Vegas.
5 days. I was expecting to be go on Thursday, back on Sunday.
Yeah. No, Jules, you know it's a long way away, don't you? It's.
That's what I mean. I think by the time you fly and come back, the time difference. So I think we actually land Wednesday morning in England, but.
You don't have to justify it to us, James. I'm more than happy with you going.
I feel like Jules needs us to justify it though.
No, not at all. I'd be there.
Black mark, you know.
I'd be there. If someone offered me a trip to Vegas, go on Thursday, come back Sunday, I'd be on first seat.
I think the funny thing is, I think we obviously, you know, a lot of people in football, so we know a few lads at Pompey. I think Pompey are going same time. I think Wrexham are going.
Again,
and yeah. I'd heard a rumor that Mansfield were going as well, so it could be like three or four teams there as well.
Wow, I mean, that's just what you want to do. You want to travel the world, don't you, and see Paul Mullin with his top off by the pool? That's literally what you want to do.
See Big Aidan Flint in Encore on Saturday. I've been trying to avoid him for years.
The thing is, you won't miss Flinty because again, he's another very very tall statue.
He's a monster. But, I mean, monster
the point that you make, James, about getting it done and the celebrations done is absolutely right, because it's now is very much seizing the moment, because before you know it, we'll be ticking over to that first game in the Championship. You'll be looking at the fixture list going, wow, I mean, big club, Derby, big club, back at it on that step, as everyone wants for Derby, back towards the Premier League.
Yeah.
It'll be here before you know it. And as we know, the Championship, it's that 46-game onslaught coming your way very shortly, isn't it?
Well, mate, I think the Championship's like, it's got to be one of the toughest leagues in the world. Like the amount of teams that you're getting at the stature of clubs, and you'll see the lads coming down from the Premier League at the end of the year. Obviously, we don't know who it is yet. And then you've got big clubs coming up from League One, and then the teams that are already in the Championship that won't obviously go up and go down. It's a massive, massive, massive league, and there's some fantastic clubs in there. And the funny thing is, I think every club in the Championship, they all fancy their chances to get promoted. Obviously, look at one of my old teams, Luton, done absolutely amazing. Because when we first went to the Championship, I know Gary Sweet and the manager. They deep down in their mind, they knew that they would get promoted to the Championship to the Premier League at one stage. And the lads were thinking, like, we got promoted to the Championship. Like, I think it's a great achievement. They were like, no, next step, and they managed to achieve it. So anyone can go up and anyone can go down. So I think when that fixture list does come out, and this fantastic club's in the mix, it's like one of the best things, like where we're going first game of the season, where who are you playing over Christmas? Well, like, who you got last game? You do, don't you? Yeah. And it's going to be exciting times for the club.
Is there a team you're going to be looking out for when that list
Well, I'm a Coventry fan, so I was born and raised in Coventry, so I always look out for when do we play at the Rico, so my family can be there and stuff. And I think, who knows, if Forest go down, I think that'd be another big one that the fans will want to look forward to. So I think there's a couple in there that stand out.
From your point of view, James, you mentioned earlier on about your age as a footballer, and you've still plenty of years left tearing around the football pitch. But any thoughts post as yet? Has coaching floated your boat? Any badges being?
Yeah, I think as you turn 30 and above, you do think about it more. So I start my A licence in the summer. I've done my B. I start my A licence in the summer, which I'm looking forward to. And obviously you see the work that you guys do in the media is fantastic, so maybe that's something I'd like to have a look at if you'll ever have me, Brooks. There's lots of things that I'd really like to do, but coaching and have a look at the media side is something that that probably interests me the most, I think.
And from the point of view of what Paul gives you, I suppose the managers that you played under, the experience that you've mentioned there with regards to the different clubs, stature of clubs and the dynamics, is it just in that position where you're like a sponge? Give me all you've got, Warnie, tell me, because I know that he's very idiosyncratic and unique.
Yeah,
isn't he lovely?
You just tend to soak it up from different ones. So I've worked with various managers. I've worked with Paolo Di Canio at Swindon, and you see how mad he was and how, like,
no
attention
ketchup.
To detail. Pardon?
No ketchup, was it?
No ketchup, no sauce, in every day. So there's some things that I take from him, but there's also a lot of things that I probably wouldn't go do as a manager. Then obviously, probably the most successful time of my career was with Nathan Jones, who my time at Luton, how good he was on the grass. Then you've got great people like Mick McCarthy and how experienced and how he'd done things. And there's a vast amount of stuff. Then you've got the gaffer this year, how good he is with like families and people off the away from the pitch. And so yeah, I think you just pick up little bits and bobs from all different types of managers, and like you said, I've been really, really lucky to work with some fantastic managers over my career. So I'm hoping when I do hang the boots up, then I can pick their brains a little bit and hopefully take it into my coaching career.
Jules, I'm just thinking there, you'd have spoken to all of those. Paolo, Nathan Jones, Mick McCarthy and Paul Waugh. I mean, can you imagine that kind of, and I say this with nothing but love for those managers, that Frankenstein sense of mashing those men up together. Can you imagine?
imagine all being around one table for a meal with them four.
Exactly. Unreal, isn't it? Wow. That would be an intense night, I think.
It would be an intense night. Enjoyable one, though. Really enjoyable. Yeah,
enjoyable.
Funny, enjoyable, but intense.
Yes, I agree.
Speaking of enjoyable but intense, James, thank you so much for joining us, mate, because I know you've got to get ready. Yes, you've got meetings. Yes, you can paddle all you want, mate, about getting stuff together and looking forward to training plans for next season. I know your next port of course, is Las Vegas. I sincerely hope you all have a good time and you all come back in one piece. We're very jealous, aren't we, Jules?
We are. Will it be on social media or our phones allowed?
Well, Jules, to be fair, I'm not on social media. I sort of keep away from that side of things. So there'll be nothing from me on social media, but I'm sure you might find a few pictures flying around if you look hard enough.
The Portsmouth, Derby, Wrexham, yeah. Vegas, 2024. Bring it on.
Bring it on.
James, thanks for joining us, mate. Congratulations.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. And enjoy the last game of the season with the Championship, and hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Enjoy your weekend.
Cheers, I'll try my best.
See you later.
See you later.
So the Rams, they're jetting off to Vegas in celebration. I'm extremely jealous, as I know you are too, Jules, but let's be honest, it's very, very well deserved given the season that they've had. Sticking closer to home now, it's our 72-72 instalment for this week with Ipswich Town striker Kiefer Moore.
Well, there could be a problem. He scored a big goal in Coventry this week, obviously, with Ipswich so close to being promoted to the Premier League. Yes. I don't think he's come back in time. I don't think he's here. He's not here.
What?
No, he's not here.
Jules, does that mean we're stuck?
Well, I'm not stuck. You could be stuck because there's only one more, isn't there? One more person who can do this at this moment in time. Put your head down. It's you.
Right. I guess it is my turn for this season. I've watched this all season long. I'm about to find out just how hard this is. My name's David Prutton. And this is my 72-72. Leicester, Ipswich, Leeds, Coventry, Southampton, Norwich, West Brom, Hull City, Preston, Watford, Rotherham, Birmingham, Sheffield Wednesday, Huddersfield Town, Plymouth Argyle, Stoke City, Pompey, Derby, Crawley, Bradford, Donny. Guys, my brain got blank. Crewe Alexandra, Accrington Stanley, Wrexham, Mansfield, Stockport, Forest Green, Sutton United, Colchester United. Oh my word, this is way harder than you think. Middle. Give me some middle of the road stuff. I've gone blank. Bottom end of there. Oxford, Cambridge. MK Dons. I've done Crawley. Give me Crawley four times. Bristol City, Bristol Rovers. Notts County. I can't tell you how hard that actually is in reality. In practice, in my head, I thought it would be very, very straightforward, Jules, but it is monumental in its challenge. I just, fingers crossed, I've done myself some form of justice, and I can tell by your face that I possibly haven't.
Shrewsbury. What Vale, Fleetwood.
They will forever haunt me. We spoke to them all. I apologise to you all connected with those teams.
Right, so let's see how we go. From 28 to 21, first of all, bottom up. Aaron Ramsey in 28th position, Stephen Pletcher, Reuben Colwell, Stuart Dallas, Gary Rowett, Alfie May, Valerian Ishmael, Andrew Moran, Matt Bloomfield at 20. And then we go into the teens. Remember those years? The teens. Liam Senior in 19th, Lucas Djokovic, 18th, Joe Bryan, 17th, Mark Albrighton. Then we go Mark Butcher, Sam Bryan, Callum O'Dowda, John Coleman, Joby McEnough. Just outside the tens, into the top 10. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I haven't heard your name yet. I'm not seeing the celebration.
Oh, God.
10, David Artell, Tom Bradshaw in 9, Abu Adams in 8, Wayne Rooney in 7th, Pete Wilde in 6th, into the top 5, Danny Cowley in number 5, Patrick Bamford number 4. Are you excited?
This is the highest I've come in anything, Jules. Keep going.
Really, really, really. In bronze medal position, podium finish, Richie Wellens. In silver, you. You.
Oh, my God.
Dave Pruttin.
That is you. Staggering.
Beaten only by Matt Smith right the way back on the 30th of August, 2023.
That is, I mean, I can't tell you, Jules, how rewarding it was to hear my name in second spot behind the great Matt Smith, the most intelligent footballer anyone's ever met anywhere, in front of me. I beat Joby, I beat Wayne, I beat Rich, come on, I beat Patrick.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I mean, Danny Cowley you beat, Wayne you beat.
I think, I mean, we can just end it now. I mean, do you want to talk about anything else? Can we just leave it at this? I think we've peaked. I've certainly peaked, I'll be honest, in silver.
Your big mate Gary Rowett back in 2020.
Beat Gaz, beat them all. Jules, how proud of you, of me are you?
I'm very proud, to be honest. I wasn't expecting it. I mean, you surprised me. You surprised me. You want to get yourself a little silver medal or a little rosette and just pin it.
Just a badge.
I mean, ultimately, it's second place. You didn't win, yes. Ultimately. I mean, yes. let's be honest. Don't dress it up more than it needs to be.
Don't dress it. Still not a win. The
still
second spot.
But, you know, silver's good. Silver's good, which means you move on to gold next season.
I can retire happy. Thank you.
All I'll say is Shrewsbury Town.
Which, to be fair, is a good place to start. Let's start in League One. We're going to chuck it around a little bit. We'll finish with the Championship. We'll start with League One. We'll go League Two and then talk about the final weekend in the Championship. So, having spoken, of course, to James Collins, how delightful was he? He was fantastic, wasn't he?
I think he was in a really good mood. I think the team in a really good mood. They showed that togetherness. And I also think stories attached to these clubs that win promotion that have had their problems, and it has been turbulent at Derby County in recent years. Mm. And the fact that the supporters, they're all there. They've all stuck, not just with the team, but with the club. And it is emotionally exhausting.
Mm.
It is tiring. It is relentless. But it gives back to the supporters the loyalty in a way that they have shown. And then you get to celebrate things together. So that is another reason why the celebrations were so big and it was so huge. And you know, you just wish them well in the Championship next season, because you do feel that Derby belong in the Championship and they'll be comfortable in that environment and see where the next step takes them.
So they avoid the playoffs. The playoffs start on Friday, which is lovely, in League One. Barnsley taking on Bolton. Of course, that's a repeat of last season's matchup. And then on Saturday, we've got another game, which is Oxford against Peterborough, Saturday evening for that one. Initial thoughts on the teams that are there, Jules? Anyone sticks out? Anyone that you believe is an outright favourite in it?
There are three of those four teams who can play, and we know that they can play, and we can know that they can score goals and are good on the eye and good to watch. They are also teams who can concede as well, as we have seen. So I would say, and I'm not going to stick my neck out here, but also just to add to that, with whatever was happened or going on at Barnsley, we don't know too much about that.
The
change and the switch. In the position that they were in, that might change a few things and vibes around the ground. I don't know. We don't know, because we don't know what goes on behind closed doors. I think Bolton will be there, just because I think Bolton have been there and thereabouts all season and pushed Derby all the way.
Yeah.
The other tie, I've just got a sneaky feeling about Oxford.
You think so? Less pressure, you'd say, wouldn't you? Because everyone's looking at Peterborough and saying, you should be getting somewhere. You obviously won at Wembley.
They win at Wembley this season.
Motors. And that slight difference. Liam Manning came away. Des Buckingham comes in. They had a fallow period. They finished very strongly. I like your outside, your kind of outside bet there. They're a bit of a dark horse, aren't they?
They are a bit of a dark horse and a little bit of an unknown. And that's why I've just got that sneaky feeling. But with the playoffs, as we know, it doesn't really matter where you finish in those four places, because you could finish third and miss out. You could finish third and just miss out on promotion, or you know, finish third by a huge amount of points.
Yeah,
it makes no difference.
Yeah. Well, that's the top end, and as we saw, it was a wonderful final day. The other end of it, which we both were feeling quite keenly, given the people and the teams involved. Obviously, we knew what Carlisle's fate was in Port Vale. Fleetwood and Cheltenham were 22nd and 21st finishers, respectively. Cheltenham finished 2 points behind Burton, which I'm not saying there's some kind of Pyrrhic victory in this, but the fact of when Darrell took over, how miles off it they were. No goals, just really, really hamstrung themselves completely. Crazy. So the fact they got anywhere near it, I mean, it won't help a Cheltenham Town fan or Darrell in particular, but my God, they gave it a go, didn't they?
They gave it a real go. They took it to the last day. It could have gone their way. Fleetwood also relegated. You know, they finished the season off strongly, if you can say that, because I had one of my friends was at the game. He was saying they played really well. I always think as well that radio is such a good thing on days like that, when things flip-flop in and around. And Cheltenham were relying on results elsewhere to do them a favour. That didn't happen, despite Fleetwood beating Burton. But it's just that they need to score one more goal. Yeah. And considering, as we said, they hadn't scored any goals until October, just that one more goal they needed, and it didn't happen. But whether Darrell Clark remains now at Cheltenham, you know, is to be seen, because he'll want to take a step back, reflect. Very much so. They were that close, so close. But as we've seen in the past, he does get teams promoted, has experience of that. It's a good club, so maybe he will go again next season.
Yeah, it's a lot more stable, it feels, internally under Darrell. So the bottom four being Carlisle, Port Vale, of course, Fleetwood and Cheltenham, as we've just discussed. Top end of League Two, the champions were already secured. Stockport County, well done to you. Wrexham second, Mansfield.
Where are they going?
Exactly. I mean, there was no mention of them in Vegas, was there?
No.
Blackpool, maybe?
Marbella? Back in the day when you used to tear up those streets.
I know. I mean, can you imagine? Let's not go there. And so League Two, the playoffs get underway on Monday. Bank Holiday Monday, of all Mondays. Yes. Crawley against MK Dons. Crewe against Doncaster Rovers, who, as we know, in March were absolutely nowhere near the top half of the table, and they've smashed their way into it. Would you look at them potentially as the form side coming into this, even though we've got some very, very good teams involved in that as well?
They smash their way into it. that tells you all you need to know. They always say, don't they? Whether, again, you don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs, but you need form going into them.
Yes.
It wasn't achievable, you know, just a few weeks ago, month ago. But they've got there, and they've got their place, and fully deserved as well. So maybe they will be. Maybe they will be that dark horse. I just found that, again, the last day, it just makes me chuckle sometimes. The way that Colchester Crewe Alexandra game finished, both teams needing a point to do and to secure what they needed to be.
And the referee was playing every single second of that game, wasn't he? Every single second.
Are we allowed to laugh with the teams in and around that were involved? Anyone else would. It's just brutal, isn't it? But there was plenty of videos going around on social media, and just to watch, it was like me and you kicking a ball around in Fog Lane Park in Didsbury or something, just to finish and get the job done.
Just bob it. That's literally what it was, isn't it? There you go.
Bobbing the ball around.
There you go. It was a very curious. I mean, down at the bottom, it is worth mentioning, you say Colchester. Danny Cowley billed it as the biggest game of everyone's collective careers involved in that, which can go two ways. You can get a team that absolutely melts under that type of pressure, or a team that steps forward, and they step forward. Noah Chilvers with a very good goal. Obviously, there was a brief fight back towards the end of the game from Crewe, but as you say, Jules, they were just sat there, popping it. Like, it was like over 60s walking football. I don't think we'll pick that up anytime soon on Sky Sports, but you never know what comes, do you, with regards to how we can
manage. It did a job. It worked. It kept Colchester. Yeah. It kept Colchester in the EFL.
Indeed.
And it got Crewe a place in the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
So it's Sutton and Forest Green that drop out of the EFL. The respective Steves, both Cotchell and Morrison, we wish them all the best. Let's get stuck into the Championship now. Of course, the final day is coming this Saturday. Every single game kicking off at 12:30. The current bottom three, Birmingham, Huddersfield, Rotherham. Rotherham are in League One at the next season. Huddersfield, barring the most monumental of goal swings, are there as well, which basically means, Jules, that there's one place to be fought out with regards to Birmingham, Plymouth, Sheffield Wednesday, and you would have to chuck Brighton in by virtue of the... if you chuck Brighton in, that's amazing.
That would be...
If you're a Brighton fan.
That is some drop in form.
They've got, a couple of games left of the Premier League season, and they're at the bottom of the Championship. Come on, Brighton, pull your fingers out. Blackburn Rovers, I'm getting my bees mixed up, who have, of course, Sammy Smodics. So, I mean, a penny for the thoughts of Sammy Smodics. It feels to me, and chatting in and around various Sheffield Wednesday contacts, they've timed their last couple of games and performances to absolute perfection to be in a position where they need to avoid defeat and the fine. However, their goal difference, minus 26. Plymouth is minus 12. Birmingham's is minus 16. Blackburn's is minus 16. It's one of four, it feels like, doesn't it?
It's one of four, and it's one of those that you don't get very often where more than one or two teams are involved on the final day of the Championship. I think there are seven games in those 12 fixtures that there is something relying on. Top. Mm-hmm. Middle, as in playoffs, and bottom. And that in itself goes to show how tightly contested the Championship is. On Birmingham, I just feel that their drop this season has been pretty big. With Wayne Rooney, that appointment not working out, I still feel...
There
would have been enough time to get those points on the board needed not to be in the position that they're in. And with Birmingham as well, it just seems to be that it happens too often. The story needs to change.
Correct.
For whatever reason, it happens too often. They shouldn't be going into the last day of a Championship season trying to avoid relegation. And this time it is. Even if they win... it's still not in their hands. And that's when you look at the tables and when everything else comes in. The fixture that stands out for me, and I know you talked about Sheffield Wednesday, is the, I find it intriguing, is the Plymouth Argyle Hull City fixture.
Yes. And literally both ends of the table.
It stands out is because there's something to play for both. Likewise as well, Ipswich against Huddersfield. You would think Ipswich would get that point needed to take them to that step to the Premier League, but you don't know. But the standout for me is that Plymouth Argyle Hull City fixture, because Plymouth could be relegated.
It's a huge game, as you say, at both ends. I mean, your man's drawn back from Birmingham City's point of view, as you mentioned, into that Paul Caddis goal 10 years ago, which kept them up. Lee Clarkson at the time, dropping into League One would have been Armageddon, like, when it comes to the stature of the football club. Maybe they need a miracle or something similar for that. As you mentioned, that end of the table with Hull City, I mean, the ridiculous game of football, wasn't it, against Ipswich on Saturday night at the MKM? A fantastic game of football to watch, which meant that it gave Hull City a swinger's chance at that final playoff spot. Yes, there is Norwich City sat there in fifth, West Brom just behind them. Do you fear for West Brom going into this final weekend? Because it's one win in seven for them. They've lost the last three. I mean, they were forever fifth.
And they finished sixth.
Exactly.
They go into the final weekend. Yeah. They were forever fifth and now they're sixth.
Why then? Carlos doesn't strike me as a man that gets too comfortable with people and places. He'd have been cracking the whip, wouldn't he? Is it just a case of hitting bad form at the wrong time?
Hitting bad form at the wrong time and teams having form at the right time. But they've always been in that because they've never really gone above fifth. So they've still got themselves. They're still in pole position, aren't they? They are still. They are the team that you've got to move to get over to achieve that playoff spot. But it's West Brom's to lose.
Yeah.
It's that thing, isn't it? It's West Brom's to lose, but Hull City's to gain. And obviously, if then Hull City get the result that they want against Plymouth, that, you know, that's not great for Plymouth, is it?
It's not. And let's work our way right to the top, because we saw last night Coventry City ask questions once again, as you said Hull City did, of Ipswich Town. They once again had the answers, which means we go into the final day, Leicester top champions. Congratulations to them, a job very well done. People might have moaned about Enzo's way of doing it. I'm sure he's sat there very smugly indeed saying, well, I've set you back up as champions and possibly 100 points coming into the season. So if that's not a job well done, I genuinely don't know what is, Jules.
Did you moan about the weather? It looked cold. It looked absolutely freezing.
April/May in the northwest, and you've got your heated gilet on. You know,
heated
things
gilet in the big winter coat.
And the great thing is, as you'll know, hanging around and working in OBs like we do, you get these lovely production juniors in another world. They're called runners, offering you a brolly with the last section to go. Like, we've been on 3 hours, mate. I don't think a brolly's going to make any difference at the moment.
I think it was warmer on New Year's Day at Preston than it looked like it did on...
I'm already sodden. This isn't going to do any difference.
On Monday night. Yes. Just Jamie Vardy just rolls back the years. Just Brilliant. Rolling back the years, you know, at the age that he is. And I also think it was such a perfect performance from a Leicester point of view. But the fact that Leeds were beaten so comfortably by Queen's Park Rangers on the Friday night, that was just the fuel for that fire and that performance that I think Leicester put in at Deepdale on Monday.
That's the thing. I mean, statistically, I mean, it can be subjective with how you break down football and what you want from a football team.
But it was one of their best away performances of the season, by far.
And statistically, they're the best team in the division, aren't they? You don't go up as champions by luck or kind of by coincidence. They've done exactly that. But it doesn't throw any shade on Ipswich Town, me saying that, because them being in this position with that one game to go at home, as you say, against Huddersfield Town, absolutely theirs to lose. They're in the box seat, over two decades away from the Premier League. I think it was only four seasons ago that they came staggering out of the Championship with an absolute whimper, with a record low with regards to wins. Yes, there's a lot of disappointment if you are a Leeds fan. I live in the area. There's a sense of disappointment and a slightly disgruntled, even though they've got the playoffs to, I say, look forward to. But Is it Ipswich second come the final whistle on Saturday for you, Jules?
It depends what Huddersfield do, isn't it? It depends how Huddersfield perform. And when you look at their form going into the game, you would suggest that it is Ipswich that will be promoted to the Premier League along with Leicester. But Ipswich, I think every neutral football fan, and again, we have no affiliation to Ipswich, but you only can admire the job that has been done at Portman Road. The character is there, the dressing room is there, the desire is there. Mm. And at the start of the season, it's one of those, isn't it? Did anyone think, did Kieran McKenna think that they would be 1 point away heading into the final game of the season with a chance to be promoted to the Premier League? Their identity, we know what all that is about. We've seen it out there, performances week in, week out. They had 93 points with one more match to go. And it's happened so quickly as well. And they just look relentless. We just touched on that game against Hull City last week. Mm. Relentless. When you talk about Leeds United, the defeat against QPR, I had a friend who went to that match and there was no way I was going to be sending him emojis or anything like that at the end because I knew how important it was.
They
went there. Nobody probably could see that result coming or that performance coming as well. And they've dropped points. So Queen's Park Rangers, Blackburn, Sunderland, Huddersfield, teams that you would have thought with the resources...
Got to beat them.
And who you are would go there and win. And you just wonder now going into this final game that they are this weekend, the impact mentally it could have on the players. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, all they can do is control what they can do. All they can do is they have to win. And wonder what will be going on at Portman Road instead. But you
wonder and hope, isn't it?
It is wonder and hope. Mm.
And of course, who do they play on the final day, Leeds? Southampton, who have lost the last three.
I mean, it could be a nice warm up. for the playoffs, if it is going to be the playoffs.
Could get a couple of teams there stumbling into the postseason stuff, not in great form.
You wouldn't have thought they would have been stumbling, Leeds United. No. You wouldn't.
Not in the slightest.
Expectation. And fans are brutal because you're at detail. I'm sure you would have heard, I predict the playoffs. I predict the playoffs. They're brutal. Fans are brutal. But it's their prerogative, as
is their want, isn't it?
No, they've earned the right to be in the Premier League.
So to wrap it all up, where are Ipswich against Huddersfield? Where are you on Saturday, Jules? You'll be up further north than that.
Leeds against Southampton.
Ooh.
Look at your face. Do you think it will be tasty? Do you think it will be tasty?
I would like to think it would be super tasty. I mean, the kind of. What obviously they're hopefully for them holding on to is
Huddersfield
and Ipswich, which obviously they detest.
Yorkshire rivals.
So an Ipswich defeat and a Leeds win, because goal difference, Ipswich 33, Leeds United 39. If it's a goal difference scenario come the final whistle, my word, you'd have to, I mean, Leeds United will go bonkers. You'd have to feel for Ipswich. Consecutive 90-plus point finishes in the last two seasons. Look where Sheffield Wednesday finished. Look where Plymouth potentially going to end up. What they've done is phenomenal.
That is going to be the game, Plymouth Hull.
All eyes on all of it, because that's what you do. So you can keep me informed of that. And via text, of course, in capitals.
Obviously.
In capitals.
What are you referring to last weekend?
Jesus.
Boing.
If you see me dropping my phone, you know you've scared the life out of me. Girls, it's been a pleasure. You enjoy the final day.
Keep us posted. And you enjoy yours as well.
I shall indeed, yes. Take it easy.
You too.
So another pod flies by with two fantastic guests, and by now, James Collins and Derby County will be living it up in Sin City. If you've enjoyed this episode, then please give us a follow in all the usual places and watch it right here on YouTube. My name is David Prutton, and I'll see you same time next week for another episode of the official EFL podcast.